This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is, and we enter Africa Center. It is a Monday after all, and that's where we take you to all places beyond our borders in the continent and around the world. But this morning, we carry on with our focus in Eswatini, where we know that there has been a huge crackdown on protesters demanding pro-democracy, protesters there demanding a new dispensation in Eswatini. We also know that SADC dispatched some envoys who have been meeting with various groupings in the last few days there. But some developments highlighted that it is possible that nurses in Eswatini are refusing to treat police officers as they accuse them of shooting colleagues during a pro-democracy rally that was taking place on Wednesday. We just want to get a sense from the nurses, but also from the political side. I will be joined by General Secretary Swaziland Democratic Nurses Union, Maibongwe Masangane, and I'll be joined by Secretary General People's United Democratic Movement, Wandile Dludlu. Let's start off with the Nurses Union. Maibongwe, good morning to you and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, my brother. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you so much for making the time. Perhaps let's just start off by saying, is it true that nurses were refusing to treat police officers?
Yes, my brother, it is true that nurses, as nurses, we have taken a resolution that we are no longer going to attend to all security forces in the country, as they have shown beyond any reasonable doubt that they don't value what is called life. They don't care about the right to life, which we believe is a fundamental right.
And I suppose then one might wonder, you know, because you, the in terms of your oath, you have the responsibility to, you know, protect life and all of that. What then becomes the option for those wounded members of the security cluster?
Yeah, in fact, ever since this pro-democracy protest started, we have never seen them being wounded by us. Mm. If they are wounded, it will be among themselves, not the people, because the people are unarmed. So they are the only ones with arms. And secondly, the responsibility and the oath, we are abiding with it at all times. But the problem is when your client becomes a danger to you, then there is a dilemma there. What should you do? Because now we have seen police shooting at protesters without even engaging them. So now when you see a police, now you see a danger. So if you see danger, you must try to remove yourself from that hazardous place that have been created by the presence of any police officer or of any soldier.
Let's get a sense in terms of the protesters who get, you know, wounded or violated by these security personnel during the protests. How bad has the situation been, as you hear from your members who are on the front line in various hospitals or healthcare units?
Most of the people who were shot last week, as we are speaking now, they have the bullets on their body. Some were very deep, such that it was very difficult for the clinician in hospitals to remove them. And they said maybe it's better to allow to leave them in the body and see if there are going to be any reactions from there. Then maybe they will try to remove them. And some of them, you will find that we don't have the capacity as a country. We all know that our healthcare system is ailing. We might not have the capacity to remove some of them. So we have to solicit assistance abroad. And that will be very expensive, and it will cost in terms of morals, and our people are suffering. Then there are those who were shot badly, those who were supposed to do laparotomy in hospitals, and they have done those laparotomy, and it was very bad. Following even the fact that there was no blood around the country's hospitals, so we have to ask their relatives and together with mobilize other comrades to donate blood so that maybe we can have blood to assist the comrade who lost blood during the shooting.
Maibongwe, are you suggesting that your blood banks in Eswatini are running low?
Yes, that's correct. In fact, that has been the case even before the protest.
Okay, let me bring in Wandile Dludlu here, Secretary General, People's United Democratic Movement. Wandile, good morning. Welcome to Power Talk.
Morning, my brother, and thank you very much for having us here.
Wandile, give us a sense of what is currently happening in Eswatini today. We know that, you know, the envoys were dispatched. They met with King Mswati III, and there was indication that, there would be restoration of access to social media platforms by the citizens of Eswatini. Just give us a sense of where things are as we speak today.
My brother, we are on a brink. We are on a brink of a civil war, but it is basically a war waged by the king against innocent, unarmed civilians or protesters, which has been playing out beginning of June until today. In just the last 2 weeks, we have had deaths that are about 28. In the different communities, and particularly the main cities. We have over 200 new injuries, not counting the June-July one.
Mm.
We have the internet shutdown, as you have said. We have, among the part of the 700 arrested protesters, we have very interestingly and very depressingly arrested 5 last Sunday, of school-going kids as young as 15, 16, and charged with terrorism by His Majesty's government. As we speak, they are behind bars.
Mm.
And there are children who are behind bars since June, as young as 12 years, some of whom have lost even their own parents as they were shot at by police. And in the midst of that, you have SADC dilly-dallying as it does and tiptoeing around truth.
Now, Wandile, we know the envoys have been in Eswatini. Have you, as the People's United Democratic Movement, been part of those engagements? How open and engaging is the process of the envoys of sent by SADC?
Yes, this past weekend we had a meeting with the envoy, as led with the team from SADC, as led by Comrade Jeff Radebe, has sent by the chairperson of Troika. Fairly good meeting. But what matters the most now is not how many meetings we have. Is, are we willing to decisively take a decision around the political problem in Swaziland, which has been persistent for the last 4 decades? The banning of political parties, the banning of politics and criminalization of political free political thought and activity, which leads to the arrest, the beatings, and the killings of people counting from now and going back for the last 4 decades. Sources have been crying out loud with no one available to assist them.
Now, Wandile, what are you hoping, you know, will be the outcome of this process of envoys? My understanding is that it's not necessarily mediation as yet at this stage. It seems to be more of a fact-finding mission, hence some of the calls coming out Eswatini this weekend to say SADC maybe must consider deploying peacekeepers.
SADC released a statement shortly after the envoys left. If you go through it, it speaks about, to some degree, the possible dialogue. But it also entertains, unfortunately, the posture of the incumbency of we are possibly going to have a dialogue after Ingwala. Ingwala runs from now until end of December and beginning of January, which means officially Ingwala may end of January next year. And it means Swazis must continue to die. It means Swazis must continue to be butchered by the king, and SADC will wait until the king finishes his ritual processes.
Mm.
It honestly can work. We don't have, we have more faith on the Swazi. We continue to say the liberation of the Swazi should and must be the act of the Swazis themselves. So we will continue to pile up pressure. As we speak, after lunch, we are going into a trade union congress rally. We are going to parliament to petition the parliament that is not supposed to operate illegally and also allows other MPs to be arrested. And then it continues as business as usual. So we our hopes, honestly, rest much with the Swazi. We remain open for support and engagement by SADC and many others. But so far, their posture is more towards the incumbency and too much nice and white glove type of treatment.
I mean, Wandile, you talk of Incwala, and this is a very, it's at least known to be a very sacred, one of the most important rituals that are led by the king in Eswatini. What is the role of, you know, the Eswatini citizens in Incwala? And do you foresee some of the citizens boycotting this, as we saw them boycott some of the Tikundla gatherings that were done in July this year?
Well, Incwala is a ceremony that is in the main, a sacred secrecy of the monarchy.
Mm.
They are the ones who run this thing. It is to their benefit. We only get compelled to attend it as citizens for the dancing part. Historically, that's what was go there to do, which in all honesty, there is nothing much role that the ordinary Swazi does worth benefit out of it. It is to the exclusive benefits and real participation is by the family. So to us, our life must our life matter the most than rituals. Our life matter than, you know, for us, you can't have luxury of rituals in the face of a country facing a civil war.
I hear you loud and clear. People of power, I'm in conversation with Wandile Dludlu Maibongwe Masangane, and we are looking at developments in Eswatini. 0861-987-000 is the dial. Wandile there saying that it seems as if SADC is keen to put in abeyance, you know, processes to respect the king's Incwala ritual ceremony, which he alludes has nothing to do with the citizens, really. It is something that is observed indeed by the king, and if there's no king in place, there is no Incwala ritual ceremony. So please do join us on this conversation on 0861-987-000 if you have any questions or comments for my guests to provide clarity in. Maibongwe, let me come back to you. As a nurses union, are you having conversations wherein we might see some of your workers downing tools?
Yeah, we as nurses, we are contemplating of calling a mass meeting where we are going to consolidate our programs going forward. But now all the institutions in the country, the health institutions in the country, they are staging their own protest to show our disrespect around the issue of our colleagues who were shot and around the issue of all the workers that were shot during the protest. So yes, we are engaging in some protest during our bedtime, and others are doing it in those different ways that each and every institution will have chosen.
And I mean, of course, we have seen, you know, schools being shut down and all of that. Has there been any threat to some of your, you know, workers who are involved in protest, and especially after, you know, after refusing to treat some of the wounded police officers and security personnel? Have you been intimidated in any respect by the state, as it were?
Yes. Through the Minister of Health, the government have issued some warnings and have written some letters to the different managers in different hospitals to say they want all the names of those who attended that protest. That was the first one.
Mm.
And secondly, they are saying that anyone who is not going to attend to a police officer or a soldier, they are going to deal with that. But we are monitoring the situation on the ground, and we are encouraging our members to fear nothing, because we are applying something that is lawful. We are applying law that says if you feel you are unsafe, you must remove yourself from that area.
Absolutely. Let me go to the line. I've got Aubrey in Roodepoort. Aubrey, good morning.
Morning. How are you, sir?
I'm well, how are you?
I just wanted to say it's time now. The Swazis have been in the back burner for too long now. They've been dying of poverty for many years. It's time to overthrow this monarch. He's been taking money from the Swazis for far too long now. I think they need our moral and material support to make sure. They're dying anyway, so they must take it to the bitter end, this thing. Yes. SADC is a useless organization that we don't need at this point. The Swazis must go all the way. This guy, they must overthrow him by force.
Okay. Aubrey, yes. Got you loud and clear. Let me quickly run to Ben Panze Gagasini. Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Lukona. Thank you for a great show.
Thank you.
Lukona, I'd like to find out. First of all, let me say I'm not against the revolution taking place in Swaziland. Mm. And what I would like to find out, are we really saying once we overthrow the monarch, we have really solved the issues of corruption, of embezzlement, considering also the situation that we have in South Africa as well, that we are a constitutional democracy, but we still have issues where people find themselves enjoying the public purse, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and also the monarchy. Isn't it the identity of an African, you know? Because, for instance, you find the British or the English taking pride in the Queen and the monarchy. And we think the monarchy is, as a system, can we find a way we can sustain the monarchy but make sure the king is of the people?
Okay.
Thank you.
Ben, got you loud and clear. Peps, Wandile, let me come back to you to deal with a part of this. At times, I'm unsure whether we fully understand what the demands of the people of Swatini are. I mean, democratization does not necessarily equal to the king being dethroned as the monarch in Swatini. But just tell us, what is the clear outcome that you are looking out for?
Let's start here, my brother. We have five common civil society demands, which are a product of almost all sectors, the church, youth, trade union, political parties, and women's movements. They've come together to formulate what we call the five common demands. It's the unbanning of political parties, allowing of a transitional authority, and doing away with unjust laws, things like Suppression of Terrorism Act, Suppressive Act, and various other laws that really are oppressive and authoritarian in nature. And of course, the drafting, the process of a commitment towards dialogue by all stakeholders, which includes even the monarchy, if it agrees. Now, we are not waiting for the removal of anything. We are advocating for the democratization of the country, as well, and most importantly, freedom, political freedom. The political freedom that will allow Swazis to reorganize themselves in a way that will best work for them. It could end up being a republic if the king continues to be the enemy of progress, because the challenge now is that the king and the monarchy is refusing, is using the state apparatus to refuse, literally refuse, to allow Swazis to govern themselves, to allow Swazis to choose a government of their choice, to hire and fire a government, and also have a developmental agenda. The last part the monarchy being a symbol of unity, being a symbol of Africanness and the like. You are perfectly correct. That's how initially and originally the monarchy, we organized ourselves as society and gave birth to this thing called the monarchy. Mm. Maybe that's where we must start.
Okay. Yeah,
there is also this notion of monarchy being brought by God, which in all honesty is total nonsense. Monarchs here in Swaziland and elsewhere are a product of a particular stage of human development.
Mm. Okay.
Monarchs are a subset of society. So, but the problem, what we have today is not a monarch. It's a thug who steals our land and our resources. It's a thug who kills our people with impunity. It's a thug who insults us last Friday. He took podium and called Swazi drunkards and darker smokers. You can't have a king who degenerates to that level.
Okay, Wandile, got it loud and clear. Let me go back to that line before I come back to you, my Bongwe, for parting shots. Soli, good morning.
Hi, how are you? Okay.
Fantastic, how are you?
Yeah, just like the caller before me, I support the struggle of your guest there. But on the other hand, Lukona, most of the time I hear the voice of those who are demanding change in Swaziland.
Mm.
But I don't know what is it that is causing the king to be so intransigent and holding on to the status quo. So I would love the situation whereby maybe somebody representing them also to come forward and tell us what is the problem of the king to remain intransigent. Because for me, the demands, I think, are not difficult. Your comrades there, they only request that let us live as human beings.
Yeah.
Let us have a friendly and peaceful environment. I think that is what they are demanding.
Sorry, got you clearly. Kabelo, good morning.
Good morning, to everyone and to your guest. I have a very different viewpoint altogether, and I'm listening to, you know, the trepidations. I'm listening to the emotional argument, and you know, I think there's a degree of, you know, us as a people trying to abstain from having emotional discussions. Swaziland is a monarch. We as Africans, we have become something that hates its own. You know, we have started to hate our own institutional thinking as Africans. You go all over the world. You go to Monaco. You go to Dubai. You go to Malaysia. Those are emperors. Those are monarchs. Yet they have a construct around their rule of law, and it is beneficial to the society ultimately. Their economies are thriving, and they're prosperous. The problem is we want to link an African equation to just off South Africa and a few other countries in the continent that have failed. How they're pursuing the situation with Eswatini, it's unreasonable. The public discourse and the king himself have led it to deteriorate to the situation as it is, and there's never going to be a fruitful outcome. Personally, where I come from, I respect the rule of law from a monarchy's point of view. I do not think democracy will resolve everybody else's challenges. If it would, it would have, South Africa would be in a different equation.
Kamelo, can I ask you a question before I go back to my Bongwe, before we run out of time? Do you believe that the monarch in Eswatini has upheld itself in a similar manner that you point to in Monaco, Qatar, wherever else, where monarchs have actually been quite committed to development of their people?
Well, hence I'm saying to you, the agenda that the Swatis have is an agenda with their own king. If the king has not delivered on the will of the people or developmental agendas of the people, it should have been held in their kingdom, not to include emotional debates and discussions and having a situation that deteriorates faster than what Libya happened.
Okay, let me go back to my Bongwe on that point. I don't think brutality cannot be emotional by any score. My Bongwe, please give us a rap. What do you think about what Kabelo is just saying?
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, my brother. I think from what Kabelo is saying, as Swazis, there is nothing that we can celebrate about being a monarch other than being plunged into poverty. And we have seen that
the people of Swaziland are the situation of the people of Swaziland on the ground are deteriorating due to the monarchy, and our monarchy is practicing very ancient ways of being a monarch, and in that way the royal family is increasing day by day, and then that means the resources are going to they are running out. And another thing is that the monarchy is now abusing the people by taking their land, by taking everything, and they are everywhere in business, and no one can do any business. So that monarchy is toxic to the people of Swaziland.
Okay. My Bongwe and Wandile, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we wish you all the strength in your pursuits.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Secretary General, People's United Democratic Movement, Wandile Dludlu. General Secretary, Swaziland Democratic Nurses Union, Maibongwe Masangane. A developing story that we will continue to follow here at Power 98.7. Thank you to the team for bringing us Power Talk. We bring you Power Lunch between 12 and 3 o'clock. But before that, Lekhodi, it's a goodbye from us. Please give us the power news.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.